population, homeless and non-homeless partner services for them too.
Thank you. So my discussion will be focused on partner services, HIV partner services outside STD clinics. And we will be comparing outcomes for homeless individuals to non-homeless individuals newly diagnosed with HIV in New York City. So homeless populations tend to have worse health outcomes compared to the general population, including premature death, acquisition of communicable diseases, mental illness, substance abuse, and HIV. In New York City, homeless population has 31% higher HIV prevalence rate compared to the general population. Every year, at least 100,000 individuals, unique individuals, utilize the New York homeless shelters. Despite this high utilization rate, you can still find individuals sleeping on the street or, as the picture indicates, at one of our New York City subway stations. So as a result, delivering public health interventions such as partner services can be very challenging to homeless individuals, because our traditional methods such as home visits, telephone calls, may not work. Also, reaching their partners can be equally challenging, because the homeless index patients themselves may be out of communication with their partners, the friendship or relationship may be short-lived or unstable. So the objective of our study is to compare the outcomes of HIV partner services delivered to individuals that were homeless at the time they were reported with HIV or non-homeless. And we wanted to specifically look at the rates of partners interviewed, patients that were interviewed, partners identified, notified, and tested. And to determine if partner services outcomes is related to one's homeless status. In New York City, we offer HIV partner services to everyone diagnosed at our STD clinics. So we have DIS based at STD clinics offering partner services once someone has been diagnosed. Before 2006, for everyone diagnosed outside of our STD clinic, we encourage providers to utilize our contact notification assistance program. What this means is that the provider can request health department assistance with partner services by completing a provider report form and forwarding it to our HIV surveillance unit, or the provider or the patient can call the SYNAP call line to request assistance with partner services by giving information about the name of the partner, the date of birth, locating information. We also encourage index patients who do not accept health department assistance to utilize InSpot, an online anonymous notification of their partners, encouraging them to go to the nearest STD clinic for HIV test. What we found is that DIS-initiated partner services resulted in four times higher number of partners notified compared to partner services initiated by community providers. So in 2006, the HIV Field Services Unit was established, and the goal was to integrate DIS into the clinical operation by the community providers. So in 2006, we began with eight high-volume hospitals located in communities with high-burden HIV disease. And today, we are partnered with more than 40 providers, their satellite clinics, and some community-based organizations. So we identify individuals that need partner services either through provider report or by checking our HIV registry to ensure that everyone newly diagnosed with HIV at participating providers have been reported to us. And we offer the index patients variety of ways to sit down for the partner services interview. They can be interviewed while on clinical site, inpatient ward, or anywhere in the community, at their home, at a shelter, in an official vehicle, a coffee shop, a park, street corner. Also, the partner notification is extended to the named partners anywhere in the community. In 2008, we introduced a field test. So partners located and notified of their infection, of their exposure to HIV, could be offered field tests right after partner notification. And we did this to increase the number of partners notified and tested for HIV. For this analysis, we utilized the FSU database and HIV surveillance registry. So to be included in the analysis, one has to be newly diagnosed with HIV infection from January 2007 through June 2011. Then we created exclusive categories. One group comprised of individuals that were homeless within 12 months of diagnosis or time of partner services. And then the second group were individuals that did not report lifetime history of homelessness. We did exclude a group of individuals that reported experience with homelessness. However, they have been homeless for more than 12 months at the time of HIV report. And this is because of wide variability. Some people may have been homeless 14 months ago, and some people may have been homeless 30 years ago. So we looked at demographics, selected clinical information, HIV risk behaviors. We focused on partner services outcomes. So altogether, we looked at 249 homeless individuals and approximately 2,700 non-homeless individuals. The two groups did not differ significantly with regards to age, sex, race, ethnicity. Overall, our population, two-thirds were males, and most of them, more than 90%, were either blacks or Hispanics. We did find important differences between the two groups in some regards. Homeless individuals were most likely to be U.S.-born, report never being married, and report history of incarceration. Then we looked at HIV transmission risk factors. Before people were diagnosed with HIV infection, non-homeless males were more likely to report MSM behavior, and homeless individuals in general were more likely to report injection drug use. However, when we looked at recent HIV transmission risk behaviors, homeless individuals were twice as likely to report abuse of drugs and alcohol and exchanging money and drugs for sex. And when we looked at select clinical information, homeless individuals were hospitalized, more likely to be hospitalized, 28% of them compared to 20% of non-homeless individuals were hospitalized at the time of HIV report. However, we did not find significant differences with regards to other clinical indicators. 29% of both groups were diagnosed with AIDS within 30 days of HIV diagnosis, and actually slightly higher proportion of homeless individuals were successfully linked to care, 98% compared to 96% of non-homeless individuals. With regards to partner services outcomes, we were able to interview similar proportions of homeless and non-homeless individuals, similar proportions named partners, and partner index was similar for both groups. However, we were able to notify higher proportion of partners of non-homeless individuals, 53% of their partners named by non-homeless individuals were notified, compared to only 40%. But what we found was that once partners were located and notified, actually more partners of homeless individuals were tested, and more of them were newly diagnosed with HIV infection. And all these newly diagnosed were matched against the HIV surveillance registry to ensure that they have not been previously reported. So we looked at why patients, we were not able to interview certain patients. And what we found to your left is that a vast majority of homeless individuals that could not be interviewed was because they were unable to locate. So what we found was that if our DIS was able to interview, find a homeless individual at the clinical site, maybe soon after diagnosis or inpatient ward or during one of the clinic follow-up visits, we were able to interview them, or if we were able to find them at a homeless shelter, we were able to interview them. However, if we were not able to find them at the clinical site or shelter, then our chances of locating them for interview was very slim. And when we looked at reasons why partners were not notified, again, 75% of partners of homeless individuals were not unable to locate for interview, even though we also have high proportions of partners of non-homeless persons that we were not able to locate for interview. So to summarize, we did not find any demographic differences between the two groups. However, homeless individuals were more likely to be U.S.-born, hospitalized at the time of our report recent use of drugs and alcohol, exchanging money and drug for sex, and history of incarceration. Again, we were pleased to find that similar proportions of homeless and non-homeless persons were interviewed, named partners, and partner indexes were similar. However, we were unable to locate significant numbers of patients for interview. And we were able to achieve comparable or better outcomes once partners were notified. So to apply this lesson learned, the main lesson we learned is that if we are able to find homeless individuals at clinical sites or at shelters, we were able to interview them and we can identify undiagnosed individuals among their partners. So we have extended this model to community-based organizations that target homeless individuals in the street for HIV testing. And because DIS cannot be available at the time they are testing homeless individuals in the streets or in mobile vans, we have provided training for the outreach workers so that they can at least initiate the partner services interview and be able to collect the sort of information that can enable a DIS follow-up to complete the partner notification. We also created a card for them to hand out to patients, telling the patients exactly what they need to do and how they can reach the health department to seek assistance for themselves. And actually, this has been working. Recently, someone called and said, my provider said that I must call this number and give the health department my partners. And the person proceeded to give us about 8 partners with contact information to initiate partner notification. So we have 2 limitations. We determine individuals' homeless status by self-report, so some people may not have disclosed that they were homeless. Actually, 88% of the homeless individuals included in our analysis were homeless at the time of HIV report. So there may be people who were homeless previously but did not report they were homeless. And our population is predominantly blacks or Hispanics, which is also consistent with the epidemiology of HIV in New York City. So to conclude, we believe that on-site stationing of DIS at clinical sites improved partner services in New York City, and that we were able to achieve comparable outcomes for homeless and non-homeless individuals. And we hope that by extending this approach to other settings outside clinical facilities, that we can uncover more HIV-infected, undiagnosed individuals. That's it. Thank you.
We are nearing the end, and I'm sure they're going to boot us at some point for the plenary session, but there's time for some questions if anybody has any. Roxanne does.
Roxanne Karani, Public Health Seattle and King County. Great talk. That was really interesting findings. As someone who previously worked in a homeless shelter, this topic is near and dear to my heart. And I've noticed in our own interviews that when we and thought about this, because we're seeing a lot more homeless individuals lately in our syphilis epidemic in Seattle, the question about exchanging money for drugs or sex, or exchanging sex for drugs or money, might not capture all of the kind of commercial sex that's going on in this population, because I know from working with people that they often have sex in order to have a place to stay for the night. So I was wondering if you had the opportunity to ask people about that, or if you've looked at that at all in your data.
No, we just ask them if they have ever taken money or drug for sex, and you know, they can say yes or no. And some of them we know, because they actually state that the reason that they would not give a partner is because that partner is their, you know, exactly. So.
Hello, my name is Derek Johnson. I work in Minneapolis here at the Hennepin County Public Health Clinic. Just a question for you. You said 98% of the folks in the study who were identified as homeless were in care. How are you defining in care? Are you defining it by...
In care?
Yes.
So I think I said 98% of the homeless population and 96% of non-homeless were linked to care. So that's evidence of viral load and CD4 within 3 months of diagnosis.
So it's just viral load, CD4 count at the time of diagnosis. That's how you're defining it.
Yes, because usually individuals get tested, and then they have to come back for their results, and then after that, the doctor will order viral load and CD4 testing. So that's evidence that following the diagnosis, they did come back. And then my colleague is conducting a study looking at continuation of care. So there are other visits that may not include lab results. For instance, to see a nutritionist or social worker, mental health specialist that may not include CD4 viral load.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you again.